Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new to us, welcome back. Either way, I'm very glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to say there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. It seems like I start a lot of these by saying that today's guest is somebody who you may have heard in October when we were playing Halloween music, and I'll get to that in just a bit. But first, I just want to welcome you, Pete Hopkins. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Pete and I met online. Oh, that sounds bad. Pete and I met online back in the days of MySpace. I was trying my hand at making a record label, and I came across your version of I'll Be Home for Christmas. I think you might have had a couple other Christmas songs on your page too, but that's the one that I really liked, and that's kind of how we got connected. Do you remember anything in particular about recording your cover of that song?
Yeah, I do. I remember that, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that. You're striking a chord with me that I hadn't really maybe recognized, and that oftentimes when I'm writing Christmas songs, it's because I'm thinking about missing my family, because that's the same reason I recorded that one. Yeah, it was a year that I wasn't going to be able to go home for Christmas, and I recorded it kind of for that reason. It was something that I could send to my mom, let her know, like, I'm thinking about you, and it was, yeah, it's so cheesy, right? No, but seriously, I'm kind of cheesy when it comes to Christmas and music and family. It's unfortunate that we have to think of that as cheesy, but we do, don't we? A little bit, just a little bit. It's like a little bit embarrassing.
Maybe just a little bit.
Admit it. It's a little embarrassing to admit that, but also very true.
I think this time of year, it's okay to be a little cheesy. I think we sort of expect it from each other, and we all are accepting of that. And I didn't find it cheesy at all. One of the things I really liked about your cover of I'll Be Home for Christmas is that there is emotion in it. You know, I've mentioned this to a few other artists that I've had on this podcast, that you can tell when somebody is just knocking out a Christmas song just because they think they should, or because somebody told them to, or whatever else, and they're kind of just phoning it in. Here's Jingle Bell Rock or something. But it's different when you listen to a song like your cover of I'll Be Home for Christmas and you feel like the guy singing this believes it. He is really, you know, he's not faking it. He's not phoning it in. This is something that matters, whether it's something that for I'll Be Home for Christmas, whether it was something that you were thinking about that particular Christmas, or whether it's just a memory, because we've all had those kind of memories where we want to be somewhere else at Christmas, but because of our life choices and circumstances and whatever else, we can't do it this time around, or whatever home for Christmas was isn't even there anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that your version of that captured a lot of that. That's what I really liked about it. And that's why I wanted to put it on the album I was putting out and let it get other people to hear it. And that's why I still play it on the Sounds of Christmas. It's one of my favorite versions of that song. You're welcome.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you.
And that's not the only Christmas song that you've done. A couple years ago, you were part of a group, maybe you still do this from time to time, called Get Back Val. Is that still something that you're part of?
Oh, yeah. Get Back Val. I'm not just a member. I'm also a client. I mean, I am Get Back Val. It's my thing. It's me. It's just me. It's so different from Pete Hopkins that I had to give it a different name. It just didn't seem, because there's this kind of brand awareness thing that happens with music and with artists.
Right.
Which is just so very, very true. And I don't know, we can talk about that maybe a little bit later. But yeah, Get Back Val still exists. I made a bunch of songs about Star Wars because I'm a huge fan of Star Wars. But I think you're referring to when I did the Grinch song, huh?
The Grinch song was the other Christmas song I was thinking about, and that's another one of yours that we play. So
that was fun.
For folks who are listening to this, you've probably heard that's another Christmas song from Pete that you've probably heard, and because the name of the band is Get Back Val, you may not have even realized that was Pete. But it's a very cool version of the Grinch, and it's one of those kind of covers where it's familiar, but you've also made it your own because you've done it in your own style, and it's different than the multitude of covers that you hear of that coming out every year.
Thanks, man. Thank you. That's important to me. I don't like to make things that that sound like other things.
Yeah.
I like to be me.
The other song from Get Back Val that we play, and this is in October when we're playing Halloween stuff, is The Wolf Outside the Door.
Oh, wow. You know, I didn't even know you played these. You know, I actually did not know that you played these songs. That's great.
Yeah. What, for anybody who didn't know, we play Halloween music in October, as I mentioned at the beginning. When people think about Halloween music, you think of maybe Monster Mash or Ghostbusters or some of those songs that were big hits that everybody knows. But I play a lot of songs by independent artists that have spooky themes, that kind of content.
Yeah.
And The Wolf Outside the Door is certainly fits that. Do you remember what inspired you to write that song?
Oh yeah. Wolf Outside the Door is was written in 2020 as the world was shut down, and we all more than ever became our own worst enemy. No one knew who was. It's about COVID. It's about COVID-19. The Wolf Outside the Door is COVID-19. That the name of that is the fear of that disease. It is the disease itself. It is all of those things. That was my song about not being able to go outside, not being able to safely feel confident to breathe the air. That's what that's about. Definitely scary. Not science fiction. Not fantasy. Real terror that was gripping our entire world at that time.
And it's not locked into that time period because you don't ever come out and say specifically in the song what the scary thing is. So it's something that will work. You know, hopefully there will come a time where the pandemic is just an unpleasant memory. But this is something that you can listen to every year, and it's not, and it won't have that dated sort of feel when you listen to it. It's
not. I hope not. Yeah. I like to make things that, and that might just be a kind of a byproduct of my style of songwriting. I don't like to give everything away. I think that it's important as a songwriter, you need to be able to make a song that is open to interpretation for people, because a lot of people use music, you know, as kind of a soundtrack to their life, whatever they're going through at that moment, which is always going to be something else. So I'm kind of trained via osmosis or just doing it a lot. I've been a songwriter for a while, and I've got a pretty good handle on it. So I think when I make a song, that just kind of happens automatically now. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. Do you write songs for others, or do you, is that something that's just that you just do for you?
No, I write for others and with others from time to time. Yeah. Different genres and styles for that. Yeah. And I also produce other artists. That's what I do to sustain my life. I'm a producer for hire. That's what I do.
From The Wolf Outside the Door to The Grinch, they're both technically scary things, at least The Grinch in the beginning. We all know the story. but they're also very different. And what drove you to decide to arrange and record a cover of The Grinch?
I always liked the song. I wanted to put something out that I feel like Get Back Val was kind of Get Back Val is a really interesting project. It's kind of a mixture of like kind of like pop music and sort of hard rock, almost bordering on heavy metal, because I'm actually a big heavy metal fan. So it was my idea to try to marry those things together. The funny thing is in part something that inspired that is the, did you ever see the video for it? I made a music video for that song too.
I don't remember if I've I don't think okay. So.
Well, if you ever did, it's on my YouTube channel, which is, I don't know, I guess it's like YouTube Get Back Val. You just type in Google Get Back Val, Mr. Grinch, or you're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. That's the name of it. Yeah, you'd find it. But anyways, I was getting my hair done. There's all this stuff going, Ken, we don't have enough time. We don't have enough time to talk about this, man. My life is replete with awesomeness. There was this fella who had discovered me and Get Back Val and was really, really taken with it and was going to like pour all this money into it and all this stuff. And so because of that, I was out on the strip every other night putting together a band to go and do this showcasey thing and stuff. And because of that, like, if you see the videos, Get Back Val has like some really serious hair. It's rock star level hair that I can't create on my own. So I have a hairstylist who has turned out over the years to become a friend and a big fan of me. And so every night when I'm out like looking for these band members, I got to have this look to accompany it, because that's Hollywood. So I'm getting my hair done first before I hit the clubs, right? So I get there and his home is decked out like Christmas, like you wouldn't believe. And I'm looking all around and I'm like, this looks like Whoville or something. This looks totally Grinchy and Dr. Susie-ian, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's very, very whimsical and festive. And so I start having this idea because I wanted to make a Christmas song. I love Christmas time and I love Christmas music. And I wanted to do this thing, but I thought, how can I do this and tie this into all of the stuff that I'm working on right now? And that was the answer that I came up with. So I'm not kidding, man. At like, I don't know, from like midnight to 3 a.m., I managed to beg and plead. And I didn't actually take much convincing. I just played him the idea. And he loved it so much that he let me take over his house and make that video for the song. And so all these different things and all that time, I know that's a long story and it's hard to even follow it all, but those are kind of the inspirations that made that happen, all that different stuff.
So yeah.
That's a lot, right? Jeez, yeah.
So was The Grinch and The Wolf Outside the Door, were both of those from last year, from 2020?
I think The Grinch might have been the year before. I want to say that was like maybe 2019 or 2018.
Yeah, I thought I've been playing The Grinch really for a couple of years.
Man, I'm not sure. It definitely wasn't pandemic year. Before that.
So now
it was probably 2019, maybe.
So now you've written an original Christmas song that's out under your own name, Pete Hopkins, and it's called Love Come Around. And what led you to that one?
Oh gosh. There's an even bigger story with that one. Come Around was originally, it was just called Come Around, and it was a completely different song. It was slower. It had the same melody mostly, but it had a totally different lyrical story, and it was kind of a tearjerker love ballad kind of thing, one of those sorts of songs. I had been having that. I've had that song around for some years, longer than any of the things that we've been talking about. And another time, I got chosen to do a very special concert called Rock with the Legends, where I opened up for all these like really, 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 really famous people and their bands. I was the opening act, and I made a good impression, because at like, I don't know, 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. or something, I got invited to come to the hotel where, unbeknownst to me, they were all there just waiting to cheer for me. For me. And dude, I know, it's insane. Like, they were there to see me and to see me play, because a lot of them, they played like later in the night, you know, and maybe didn't get to see the whole show at the amphitheater. It was a great, great experience. The whole thing was just amazing. But anyway, gosh, one of the songs I played that night was Come Around. It was actually the closer, and it was super loud at the end. So I hit this really high, really loud note. Anyways, point is, I made a lot of really famous friends that night. And a few years later, I actually had the privilege of recording with some of them. And most notably, Mr. Alan White, who plays in Yes as the drummer, and who also played with John Lennon and George Harrison. He came in and he wanted to work with me on this Come Around song. So we're in the studio. It's me. It's Bernd Bodel, a bass player, who's also an excellent man, and who has really been so supportive of my career over the years. It's incredible. So we got there and we're jamming on the song, you know, because when you get in the studio with musicians, that's kind of what you do. And for whatever reason, and I don't know exactly why, maybe I was real happy to be there, or they were, or something, the tempo just went right up on it. And it ended up becoming, instead of this like slow ballad, it turned into this kind of upbeat reggae vibe kind of thing. And that is how we recorded Come Around. And I have a version of it where I had the same original lyrics and stuff, you know, from the first version. I call it the first version. You know, then some years go by and I'm looking at it, and I start to realize, you know, I don't think that the lyrics match the sound of this music anymore. Because one of the things that I've been able to develop over the years is not only just a technical idea of how to produce music and songs, but more importantly, perhaps, is the emotional quality that needs to accompany it. Stemming all the way down to, yes, the delivery of the song, but also the lyrics of the song, the sound, all those things, for it to really click, they all need to be in perfect alignment. That's when you've got it. And I could tell something now that I couldn't tell then, which was that this was not the right story for this sound. This was not the right story for this particular set of sounds, chords, tempo, feel. And so yet again, I'm in this place where I do always write very much from what I'm feeling at that time. And what I was feeling at this time was, it has been 2 years since I've seen my family and my friends. And I do know that this year I am going home for Christmas, and that made me very, very happy. And I started to kind of like think about that. And at first that was like all it was going to be. But then I was, I'm an artist, man. So, you know, I'm a mess. My head is a mess. It is. It is. I do the best I can do, but I'm all over the place. So one minute I'm thinking about the elation of, yes, I get to go home and see my family, and that's wonderful. And then I'm thinking about how freaking blessed I am to have these legends have recorded with me on this. And then that fades away, and I think how lame I am to not have these things that they have in their life. And to be like, you know, I'm not a millionaire, and I'm not a legend. I'm you know, I'm who I am, and I'm most days I love who I am. But it's hard sometimes. It's especially hard when you sometimes are surrounded by people who appear to have a lot more than you have. And then that felt silly, because I started to think about all that I do have and the people that have, well, far less than I have. People that don't even know if they're going to eat tomorrow, you know? Damn, yeah. I'm sorry. This part's really hard for me. They don't even know if they're going to have a home, you know? Those kinds of things. And that just made me feel a ripping sensation of both elation and total despair. And that is Love Come Around, man. That's how I wrote that song. That's what it means to me. And it means a lot to me. I can hardly even talk about it without getting emotional. So, yeah.
Well, and the things that you just mentioned, you know, people who are in need of what most of us take for granted, you've got this connected to some kind of charity, don't you?
Yes, I do. I do. I have on my website, there's something I've started called the Love Come Around Initiative. And I don't know a lot about how to do that kind of stuff. So I'm getting help with that from people who know better. Right now I have there's a PayPal button and you can donate to it. I'm going to reach out to, I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but I grew up in Seattle and I live in LA. So those are my greatest points of reference from the homeless tragedy that I've witnessed. And the way I can see it is people in Seattle, they need coats. I want to get them coats. People in LA, not so much. They don't need coats. I actually, my plan for LA is I want to get them hats and sunblock. And so that's what I'm working towards. That, or I mean, really any kind of money I can raise for it. That's what the PayPal button is for. That's what the Love Come Around Initiative is. I might also just turn it over to a great charity. There are many out there, and I really just want to encourage people to recognize that, like no matter where you're at, yeah, things can always be better, but they can also really always be worse, and that there's definitely a lot of people that need your help. So if you can help, do so, please.
Yeah, the Sounds of Christmas are big fans of Feeding America. They do good stuff, and they do good stuff all year round. And it's, you know, it's this time of year that more of us are thinking about those kind of things. But really, yeah, they need the help all year
always
round.
Yeah, always need it. Yeah.
You can find Love Come Around on Pete's Bandcamp page. It's petehopkinsmusic.bandcamp.com. And I don't know if you have time. Do you want to talk about Bandcamp a little bit?
I don't know much about it. I really joined it. This is the place where I've put this song. I haven't put it on all the streaming sites and stuff. I don't really plan to. It is at radio right now. I'm actually really pleased. It's doing very well at radio. I got my first reports back on that. I never had a song like actually on radio before, and it's awesome.
That's terrific.
It is terrific. It's the fourth most added song on AC40 National Radio Hits.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It debuted, first week debuted, it came in to number 29 on the Indie Charts New Music Weekly. Also just incredible. Wow. And it is the third most added song on AC40 New Music Weekly. And that is so cool. I can't believe it. That's I don't even really know how to talk about that, because that's so new for me to see something like that. And not to say I haven't had successes in the past. I've won awards and whatnot, but this song, which means a lot to me, apparently means a lot to a lot of other people too. And so that's a win.
Yeah, that's good.
That really is a win.
I was going to say that has to be so rewarding to do that. I mean, the money would be nice. The millions pouring in.
Money would be nice. Yeah. And I don't need it like they need it, but you can definitely buy some stuff. I've got some shirts and things like that. The charity, not having anything to do with me, that is for those who really need it, but totally buy a shirt. Yeah, I could use it. That's fine. I'm okay. I can ask for that. Now, support the song. Just share it around, and that's what anyone that wants to help me, specifically me, that's what you can do, is buy the song, share the song, get a mask, get a shirt. Got a lot of stuff on the website. Did I talk about my actual website yet?
Have I said that? No, I just mentioned the Bandcamp page.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, please take a hop on over to petehopkinsmusic.com and check it out. There's lots of things there. I've got a store. That's the first. I never had a store. Not really. Like I didn't have a store before. I'm much better at music than business. I'm just going to say that straight up. That's just the truth.
It is, as far as all that stuff's concerned, it really is a a brave new world for yeah. singers and musicians, especially indie artists, because you do have to do it all.
Yeah.
And for those who are on record labels, I'm sure they're finding that the labels aren't doing what all of that stuff that they used to do. So really, anybody who's in music, if you want to build a presence, you want to get your music mm-hmm. out there, you do have to figure out how to do it all. And it can be overwhelming. And
learning some new skills.
Yeah, I try to encourage people. And part of the reason I do this podcast and talk to as many singers and musicians as I can is to hopefully get more people to know about them and know more than just, here's a new single, a new Christmas song this year from somebody named Pete Hopkins. Here's a little bit more. So you get a little bit, you get to know Pete a little bit. And if you like what he has to say and you want to support him, you go to his Bandcamp page and you buy his song, or you go to his website and you buy something else, you know, and you can support the music that you love.
Yeah. And that, I mean, it also works in everyone's favor, because it's no matter what, it's expensive to do this stuff. And
oh, yeah.
like, if we don't make any money, it's harder to make more music. So if you like the music, it's kind of like putting gas in the car. The car yeah. goes when there's fuel in it. You know what I mean? Like that.
Speaking of more music, I know you had mentioned to me that, I don't know if this is for next year or somewhere down the road, but that you kind of have a goal as to make a whole Christmas album, not just the single.
I do. I'd like to. It's, I do. I have a great name for the record. That's a good place to start. But yeah, it's something I'd like to do. To do that, you have to like start making it in the spring, which is weird, yeah. but that's what I do, I suppose. Hopefully that's the way it'll go. Otherwise, in 10 years from now, I'll put all the songs that I put out once a year on a record. We'll you know, see what happens.
Yeah, there are lots of artists that do it both ways. Some are able to yeah. to put together the album, and some put out a collection of all the singles, plus maybe one or two new ones.
You know, I guess what I worry about a little bit is what you said earlier about how like you felt there was emotion in what I did in, mm-hmm. in the songs that I did. What if when I make them in February or March, there isn't? What if I'm just recording Christmas songs so that by the time Christmas comes, I have a record? I mean, I'm not saying for sure that's the way it would go, but I don't know. It's a concern. I like to worry about things, Ken. That's a big. I'm a big fan of freaking out about stuff.
I don't think you need to worry about that, because that hasn't happened with the other songs that you've recorded. Well, I'm sure I haven't heard everything you've recorded, but the stuff that I have had hasn't been something that was just, you know, some kind of mass produced widget of a song. Here, I needed to yeah. do this, and here it is, and it's 3 minutes and 9 seconds, and that's what they said to do, and here it is, and it's about love or something, and
right. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, it's not your style.
Thank you for yeah. that.
I don't know how much you've thought about the Christmas album beyond the name. Do you have ideas for original songs? Are there covers that you want to record or rearrange and make your own?
I got some thoughts on that. I don't know if I could like give you a list at the moment okay. of it, but I definitely do. I got my favorites, and I'd probably start with those. Maybe, possibly, I don't know. I've done some that I never even released, and I could just kind of do some of those again, because, well, frankly, I would just do them a lot better now, because some of them were like when I was like first starting out. Like, yeah, actually, what's funny is one of the very first songs, which I'll never, ever, ever let you hear, but I did a version of Carol of the Bells, and it was like the very first song I ever recorded. Like, I'd gotten this kind of weird computer MIDI thing that had this bell sound on it, and it totally reminded me of the ding, 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 ding. So I figured out how to get that on there, which is really largely a large part of that song is that. And so I have songs that I've already done, and I could totally just redo those again much better. And I might, I might start with that because I love that song. That's like my favorite Christmas song, Carol of the Bells. You know that? Of course, you know
it. Oh, yeah.
Sounds like Christmas guy knows that song. Yeah, Ken knows that song. Yeah, love that one.
And I think that that's kind of the secret for getting into the spirit and tapping into that Christmas feeling, even if it's in February.
Yeah.
You go through some of these songs you've already done where you've had that, and I'm sure you'll have it back.
Yeah, probably, right? Hope so.
Well, the new single, Love Come Around, you get that on Pete's Bandcamp page, which again is petehopkinsmusic.bandcamp.com. What's the best way for people to connect and keep up with what you're doing? Do they need to move into your building?
Me at my house. Oh, I have an Instagram account. I'm bad at it. I have it. I'm not going to put what I eat for breakfast on there every day. Maybe, probably, I guess, Facebook page, I would say is probably the primary. You're asking like social, right? What's the best social for people to follow?
Yeah, if people want to find out when new music is coming or when you're playing somewhere and that kind of stuff.
Definitely, yeah. I'm most active on Facebook. I'm trying to up my Instagram game. If you go to petehopkinsmusic.com, there are, you know, all those neat little buttons you can press that will say where you can follow me, and you can hit them all. I'm on the Twitter, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram. I'll be downtown later today. I'm everywhere.
So if anybody wants to share an Uber, Pete's headed downtown later today.
Page, there's you know all those things that you're like, I wonder if he has one of. Yes, I have one. I have the YouTube, I have the Twitter, I have the Instagram, I have Facebook. I don't know if I've done a TikTok yet. Get Back Val had a TikTok, that was fun. I don't think Pete Hopkins has gotten around to making TikTok yet, but maybe I will.
So if you go to petehopkinsmusic.com, you'll find all the links to all the other things that we've just been talking about.
Yeah, and I've also got a thing that says free stuff. If you click that, it puts you in touch with me directly, and it's basically what you're really doing. I'm just going to tell you, you're giving me your email address, but that's a good thing because when I really want to talk about something, that's the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to email it to people who really want to know what's happening next. That's going to be the place. That's going to happen. So sign up for that. You also get exclusive stuff that won't be anywhere else. And believe you me, there's a lot more of that than there is the other. I have all kinds of secret things, and publicly, not nearly as much. So you want to be on the inside if you like what I do. Trust me.
Very nice. So petehopkinsmusic.com for all the connections. petehopkinsmusic.bandcamp.com. to grab your copy of Love Come Around. Pete, thanks so much for spending some time with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. And thanks for supporting my music, man. That's awesome.
And thank you for listening, helping us share some Christmas spirit, and for helping this podcast continue to grow. Since you're listening now, you've obviously found us somewhere. But if there's another site you like to use for podcasts, check out our podcast page on our website for the complete list of everywhere you can listen to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. And again, the website is soundsofchristmas.com. Then just click on the podcast tab. For the Sounds of Christmas station, to listen to the music, you'll need to stick with our website or our app in the Google Play Store. If you have comments or suggestions, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through our website. Thanks again. And may you always believe in Santa Claus.